National Broadcasting Company presents transcribed another Stan Kenton concert in miniature. Music by a leader and his orchestra who create the freshest and most stimulating ideas in modern American music. Now here is your host and conductor, Stan Kenton. You know, a thought that has been prevailing with me lately is whether I'm altogether correct or not in calling this program My World is Music, because music is a pretty vast thing. There are many types and different likes and dislikes in music, and of course my music has only to do with jazz music. And even in jazz, we're kind of divided against ourselves, too. There are many different segments and sections of it. There are those that prefer Dixieland music and ragtime, and then there are those that said nothing can happen better for jazz after swing music. Then there are those that came along in recent years, the beboppers and the progressives. Until right today, the modern end of the development of jazz is simply called pretty much, modern music or modern jazz. Jazz music is especially a mystifying thing because somehow no one has ever been able to describe it or give a justification for the music. It's something that intrigues us, those of us that are very close to it. Yet all we know is there's a lot of wonderful excitement and wonderful feeling when five trumpets line up with five trombones, five saxophones, and a rhythm section, and the whole thing starts to swing. There's an item that we classify as big band jazz. It was one of the compositions that came about as the result of the association with Shorty Rogers, one of the modernists in our field, and the orchestra a few years ago. In the book, it's marked down as Jolly Rogers. I wish somehow one of these days some one of us in the field of jazz could come up with a proper explanation of the music. A description of the music good enough to qualify as an entry into one of the encyclopedias. Because it would be awfully nice if a person became interested in the music and could turn to, say, page 476 in some book and find a description or some sort of an analysis of the music. It would help them understand this thing that we all love so much, this jazz music. It's rather embarrassing when someone comes up and says, Mr. Kenton, can you explain just exactly what jazz is? And, you know, I find I'm completely strapped for the moment because, oh, I can give all kinds of technical descriptions and all kinds of analysis of the music, but you try to explain into words that someone can understand just exactly what causes the music and why the music is called jazz, it's a pretty difficult thing. Have you ever heard a group of musicians discussing it? I mean, what causes swing? One will say you must play on top of the beat, and one will say, no, that's not it, the middle of the beat, and someone else says that if you do this against this, it will cause swing, but nevertheless, none of the explanations make quite enough sense to where you could say, now do you understand? We do know that jazz is something that intrigues us a great deal, and we've known for some time that we can take parts of jazz and organize it. That's orchestration. Parts of it, of course, are improvised. That's the soloist contribution. Here is a composition that is one part organization, that's orchestration, and one part soloist, that's an improvised melody, and this is Art Pepper.
Thank you.
You've just heard Art Pepper. It's a man's name. The man is an alto saxophonist, a guy that's risen to such an important place in the jazz world that we felt, well, that he was entitled to have the composition named for him. He played the alto saxophone throughout, and the orchestration was performed by the Innovations in Modern Music Orchestra, a group, of course, that is equipped with strings, woodwinds, and so forth. That has been the concert group that has been a pretty important venture out of the Kenton career. Jazz music and jazz musicians such as Art Pepper should be complimented and highly appreciated because they have throughout the years developed vast technical ability. Art Pepper, for instance, has mastered his horn technically and mechanically so that any time at his fingertips is the ability to carry out anything that he conceives mentally as he is composing spontaneously. Actually, what he's doing is improvising and creating on the spur of the moment what a composer might sit down at a piano or a score pad and work out over a period of hours. That's fascinating about jazz. Jazz musicians such as Art Pepper, Lee Konitz, Dizzy Gillespie, anyone that has developed to a high level in this field of jazz has mastered that particular facility, and they should be commended and complimented for it. Jazz musicians have developed a great deal since the old jazz started some 65 or 70 years ago in the South because the first crude forms of jazz were very genuine and emotional content, had great character, but they've developed throughout the years in a technical way. Musicians today play great fluent phrases where before it was a sort of short stammering thing. But nevertheless, the sincerity was still there and the characters, I say, equal. That's one of our worries today, where we are so bogged down somehow with creating things technically, we have to sometimes be on guard for insincerity. The emotional content must be genuine, or of course we've created nothing. Jazz music started in New Orleans. Then it crept up the river into Chicago, and from there it spread all over the United States, and from there it kept spreading. Today, jazz music is internationally accepted and respected. There are many different forms that come in from all other places in the world. Even very close to the States is a group of people that have influenced our jazz greatly. The Cubans.
Thank you.
There are times throughout that composition when the brass section blows pretty strong, which I think is the thing that possibly most people object to about big band jazz. Why do the trumpets have to play as high as they do, and why does the brass section in general play so loud? And I, leading an orchestra such as I do, somehow wish on occasions that I did not love brass so much, because there are complications, both comical and tragic. For instance, in recording, a lot of the studios are just not conducive to picking up brass sounds, picking them up properly and getting them on the phonograph record. Then there are places, too, that we perform where the acoustics are just not made for brass sections of our size and strength, and problems can arise. For instance, in a jazz club recently in California, I was especially concerned because the head waiter brought a man and his wife and seated them right in front of the bandstand, very close to the brass section. After a little while, we started playing, and I couldn't help but notice the expression on the woman's face. She had a rather painful look each time the brass hit a climax. It blew loudly, and I couldn't help but be interested in his attitude. He was sitting there in sheer delight, enjoying everything, and finally I became embarrassed. I walked over to the lady and said, "I'm awfully sorry that the head waiter had to place you so close to the brass section. You're rather in a bad place. It gets pretty strong here." She looked up at me and said, "Mr. Kenton, that's all right." Then she pointed to her husband and she said, "He loves it." There we go again. I guess I'll have to apologize once more. There, once again, the brass got pretty strong and the cymbals were pretty loud, and there was one brass sound that was pretty important to that particular composition. That was the trumpet of Conti Condoli, a solo accompanied by the orchestra. It's a thing that he played so much this past year called Portrait of a Count. You know, I think I might take this opportunity to get something out of my system. I'd like to issue a complaint, more or less. Not personally, but for the entire profession. This profession we call jazz. You know, the word jazz is not only a noun, it's an adjective, it's an adverb, used in many different ways. Have you ever noticed, for instance, a gentleman walking down the street in a rather loud suit of clothes? Maybe a necktie to go along with it, and someone on the sideline says, "Look at that jazzy suit." Have you ever seen a dance on a stage somehow that didn't quite come off, and the remarks are, "That was a kind of a jazzy thing, wasn't it?" Maybe it's an automobile going down the road with too many ornamental extras. Well, that could be jazzy, too. All sorts of things, from decorations to all sorts of descriptive things, can be included and used in connection with this word, jazzy. The thing I want to complain about is, it's this. You know, we're all pretty serious about this artistic expression that I believe is America's only cultural contribution to the rest of the world. I wonder how we can be so serious, as I say, and so concerned about a thing that sometimes is considered so jazzy.
We'll be right back. NBC has brought you another Stan Kenton concert. Tonight's program came to you transcribed from New York. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.